disclosure, Elias and I did not coordinate these messages, just to be sure. But one thing I've learned is that when there's this coincidence that we touch on the same subject, even though from a different perspective, it is God telling us through the Holy Spirit, pay attention to this, because this truly, truly matters. So thank you, Elias. I'm going to be building on your message. The title of my message is, What is God's Plan for You? What is God's plan for you? And my message is not just for the collective us, members of the church. I would like to personalize it, talking to you directly as a member, as an individual, son or daughter of Jesus Christ and the Father. And we're going to start back where it all started, and Elias made reference in Genesis. And I'm going to go to Genesis 1, verse 28, directly to that. And we know that this is about God creating mankind after his kind, his image, and our likeness. And in verse 28, he says, God blessed him and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill all the earth and subdue it, and then notice, rule. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. When we read this, we typically say, well, he's given mankind the authority, the delegation to take care of nature, to take care of things, and to learn in the process. Right? But there's much more to it than just delegating how to rule this planet. It's actually a foreshadow of things to come. It's a preparation ground, you know, groundwork, if you will. In Genesis 2:15, God also says, the Lord good God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Okay? So he's calling mankind, he's calling you and me, okay, to work and to take care of things. To work and to take care of things. So it introduces humanity with a vocational purpose. Interest of what to do. And so I'm going to demonstrate, this is just more than just merely delegating a task. It's again, it's a training ground. It's a training ground. But again, I'm going to, you know, share this message, not just from the perspective what applies to all of us, but specifically what applies to you as an individual, as a person. That's going to be my focus. In Hebrews 2, if you want to go there, Hebrews 2, I'm going to be reading starting in verse 5. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 5, and I'm going to be reading for the New International Version for the most part. And if you're there, it reads, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. In other words, he could have delegated to angels, but he had this, he created people, he created humans after his likeness. And he gave this planet, okay, to be taken care of by humans. So again, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we're speaking, but there's a place where someone has testified, and then he goes into Psalm 8 and verses 4 through 6. And again, reading from the New International Version. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Now, I would like you to sort of change the word mankind to your name. Okay. So what is Elias? Okay. Or Laura or Dave? Or Russian A, that you're mindful of him or her. Human beings that you care for them. And understand you're special to God. Not just as a collective, as an individual, you have a very special standing before God. So he made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. That is not just an expression of giving you a role to play. It is the love that he has for you, the potential he sees in you, and what he wants you to turn and to become. Like Elijah so eloquently said, to become rulers, to become priests. But it's not just a matter of a role, it's a matter of he expressing the specific love for you and the fact that he sees his potential in you to become the best version of yourself for a particular purpose that we're going to continue to explore. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. And as we'll notice, Jesse, you put everything under your feet here in this planet, but there's a potential that also goes with that. And then he continues saying it in Hebrews, in putting everything under them, under Louisa, under Tim, under Ariana, okay, it's individuals, Brianna, because it rhymes, right? God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. So there's much more that he's preparing for us. So again, this planet is just a training ground. It's just a training ground. It's a foreshadow of things to come. In Jeremiah 29, we're very familiar. This is one of my preferred verses in Scripture. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 13. Hear the prophets rise, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Again, this is a language of the Father who is devoted to you. Not just all of us. Devoted to you. Devoted to you. But what type of rulership is he talking about? In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, Ephesians 2, I'll read it to you. It says, for by grace you have been saved, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For what? For good works. So he said, take care of the planet. I'm preparing you, I'm giving you some tasks for you to perform, and I want a positive outcome coming out of that. I want a good, positive outcome coming out of that. So it is about doing good works, interesting work, fascinating work, creating things, being creative, that awes as a result of what we're doing. In a positive way, has a positive impact. So again, salvation is just the beginning. When we think about the role that Jesus Christ plays in our life, we're saved for something. We're saved for a purpose. We're saved for a reason. And again, that reason is to do good, to do good things. And as will be revealed following in the next scriptures, you and I are being appointed to a royal office, as again, Elias clearly stated. And that office has specific duties. And it's so sad that there's many Christians that live redeemed, but at the same time, they remain unaware of what is a specific role they're supposed to play. And it could even happen here. And we can start by understanding this by going into Matthew 19. And I'm going to start in verse 28. Where Jesus promises to his disciples rulership, power over the tribes of Israel. So in Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice that rulership is not just symbolic. We're actually going to be ruling over people, over planets, over the universe, as we'll see. It is structured, it's delegated. It is a sign for goodness, for doing something good. And a verse that should come to mind for all of us is in John 14, verses 2 and 3, this just came to me, so I was reading those verses. John 14 came to me, verses 2 and 3. My Father's house has many rooms. In some translations, it says offices, mansions, dwelling places, and abodes. So I went into the Hebrew, I went into the actual Greek, you know, in terms of what is this word rooms? And it says, if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So when I check the word rooms, okay, in Greek, the Greek is, I'm sorry, it comes from a word called meno, M-E-N-O. And it actually means to remain or to abide. So it's a place of abiding, dwelling, or staying, not transitory. Now, this verse is not saying, I have an office prepared for you where you're going to sit there with your secretary and your computer and you're going to be doing stuff. Okay? This is not what this verse pretty much implies, because we're honest people. We're honest people, transparent with the truth. We have to understand what this verse actually says and does not say. Okay? So it's not about divine assignments. What it means is that we're going to have a close and an intimate relationship with the Father. We're going to be close to the Father. We're going to be close to Jesus Christ. We're going to have direct access to them. Why? Because they love us. They're going to be collaborating and working with us. They want to be interacting with us continuously. And I found also when I was studying, you know, some of the background of this verse, there's a word called insula, that Jesus was likely making reference to, where it meant that any time the family built a house, the parents had a house, they raised their kids, they all go away, get married, the boys could come back and build additional rooms to the house and bring their family in. And you could have this mansion just continually expanding as a result of that. So that's probably much more the correct context of what Jesus Christ was talking about, that you have the father, the mother, and then you have the children and building their homes. They just spent in the home because they're just a very close-knit family. So that's pretty much the content. But at the same time, it doesn't mean or takes away from the fact that we're going to be ruling with the Father, you know, for all eternity. And we read in Matthew 19:28, again, where, you know, Jesus told the disciples, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. And we also will have thrones ruling, as Elias also covered today, nations and peoples around the world. In Matthew 10, there's another verse that came to mind as I was building, you know, my message. Matthew 10, verses 35 and 40. James and John, you know, the thunder kids, okay? So in verse 35 of Mark 10, then James and John, the son of Zebedee, come to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus replies, what do you want me to do for you? They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup and so forth and so on? And he said, yeah, you know, eventually you will pay a prize that you have to pay, you know, as a result of being a Christian. But to sit on my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. That is something that the Father has reserved for himself. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And notice what I try to say, it's not just the fact that, you know, John and James are trying to sort of cheat their way into a high position in the kingdom of God. It's the fact that the Father is actively preparing places for each one of us. He's preparing places for each one of us. And again, don't just think about the collective. My point here, he's talking to you. He's preparing a place for you, an office for you. Your house is going to be attached to his house, okay, to his mansion. You're going to have direct access to the Father and to Jesus Christ, and you're going to have a task to perform that is being prepared for you. And it has implications. There's some expectations that go with that. And again, Elias did a great job in covering most of them. Okay, so I'm gonna do my best not to repeat myself. So God has a special and unique role of a divine appointment, a rulership in his kingdom, and especially at this time for his first fruits, because this is the first part of his plan, the first fruits. So he's got something very specific for you. I'm going to read some scriptures really quickly, and again, so we can extract the theme that comes from them. Okay, so I'm not expecting you to, oh, the Urkas, we need to make, you know, good time here. But I'm going to start with Revelation 20, verses 4 and 6, okay, speaking about the offices that we're going to be occupying in the future. And again, they're very familiar for us, but it's good to review. So in Revelation 20, verse 4 and 6, it says, they live and reign with Christ, and we became priests of God and of Christ, becoming priests of God and of Christ. And so we're going to be reigning with him. And again, like Elias said, we're going to be priests with God and Christ. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 to 29. I'm just going to cover some of the headlines. To him who overcomes, I will give authority over the nations. Now, I want you to think about you ruling a nation. You could be being prepared right now to make that happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, here Paul is saying, do you not know that we shall judge angels? Thanks. So you probably might have your own legion of angels working for you, or the detachment of angels working for you. Or perhaps you're going to also be judging demons when Jesus Christ comes back. We don't know yet the specific, but this is what Paul is saying. We're going to be in charge of angels. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. But the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Now, this is speaking for all mankind. But this group here, this first fruits, it's a point of the spear. So we're going to be ruling forever and ever, but we have a special position that is being prepared for you now, and God is asking you, get ready for that position that you're going to be occupying in the future. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. This is what God is telling the Israelites. This is what God is telling the world. In Jeremiah 3:15, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart. That's you. That's you. He's talking to you. Who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Each one of us, you're going to be a shepherd after God's own heart. That requires preparation. That requires dedication. So take Elias' message. That's what it's all about. Jeremiah 23, verse 4. He again repeats, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, tend his people, tend humanity. And they will no longer be afraid or terrified. Humanity is going to be free of terror, of fear, of sickness, of illness. Why? Because you have been prepared to bring love, peace, happiness, joy, tranquility, ease to people. You're going to calm them down. You're going to bring the best of them. You're going to create conditions. You'll be prepared to create conditions where people will be truly happy and joyful. Enjoying a community that is called the Kingdom of God to do good works, all of us together, but they need leaders like you. And I'm talking to you as a person individually. You hear me, Dylan? Okay, that includes you. Okay. So here's some questions we need to ask ourselves. Have I asked God what role he is preparing for me? Am I developing the character and skills needed for that position? Do I see my current life as training for eternal responsibilities? Do I have a clear description, talking about Elias' message, of who I am and what contribution I will make? Do I have a learning plan to acquire knowledge and apply it? For instance, do I demonstrate godly love? Am I a peacemaker? Do I know how to handle conflict effectively? Do I uplift others? Am I a source of joy and fulfillment for those around me? See, these are things we need to prepare of, because this is something we're going to be doing in the future. But if we don't have a clear vision of what our role is, what our purpose is, we're not going to get there. And some of you have heard me share in the past the famous story of Mr. Lewis Carroll on Alice Adventures in Wonderland, where Alice meets Cheshire Cat. And Alice asked the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And Cheshire Cat replies, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice replies, "I don't much care where." And Cheshire Cat ends, "Then it doesn't much matter which way you go." So without a clear vision, it doesn't matter which way you go. But then you can't prepare yourself for the role that has been assigned to you. And that's why we read in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. So we're being trained for rulership, to become judges, priests, and kings in the coming kingdom of God. And the question we need to continue to ask ourselves, what kind of a ruler am I becoming? Am I preparing myself to take over that role that has been prepared for me? Am I on track? Do I know what's expected of me? Do I have a clear job description in terms of what God expects of me? In Romans 12, verse 6 and 8, 6 or 8, I'm sorry. And again, Elias covered this very well previously. We ought to have a unique function to perform or carry out in the body of Christ. And in Romans 12, verse 6 and 8, let's review. We have different gifts. So you have talents that nobody else has, or other people might have, but they're very specific to you. But we have different gifts. So start discovering which are your gifts. According to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is your gift? What is your mission? How will you stand out? How will people recognize you? What will people say about you as a Christian? What special thing do you bring that you do it in such a good way that it makes that has a very positive impact on people's lives? So Paul is encouraging us to identify our natural strengths. Pay attention to what is it that comes easy to me, that has a positive impact on other people, that I can expand and build on and exploit, in order for them to feel love, for them to experience peace, to bring a smile to their face. They can do interesting things with their lives and prosper overall. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, we also get a very specific message of what is expected of us, what we should do. So in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, I'll read it to you. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." And Elias said this so well. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to the Lord. Ask him, what are my gifts? What are my strengths? How do you want me to use them? And then apply them with strengths. Build your competency. Build your skills on how to practice that gift with greater power. "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance." The inheritance is not only to being in the kingdom of God, it is that office, that role, that job that you and I have, and that we need to practice. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we do it in his honor, in the same spirit that he served people when he was in this planet and continues to serve people as of today. So understand that God's plan is not just generic, it is personal. He doesn't have a general relationship with the church. He has a very specific relationship with you. You don't get lost in God's view or perspective of way of looking things. He wants to have a very direct relationship with you. He's preparing you for a role, and he wants you to respond to that calling and to have that close, that one-on-one with him. He doesn't want you to get lost with the crowd. He wants to have that one-on-one with him. And he's preparing you for a role. For instance, Roshane, I suspect that she's going to be the chief judge. Right, Roshane? You never know. You never know. So let me start summarizing. We started here in the Garden of Eden, where God delegated things for us. In the process, Jesus Christ has saved us through grace, but for a reason, for a purpose. We were called to rulership. We need to discover what are our strengths and how we turn those strengths to service other people to do good. We have a divine assignment to fulfill now in this earth in terms of good things to do now, to be a light, to be an example, but at the same time in the kingdom of God. You must build yourself into the Christian you're meant to be. Not to get lost with the masses of Christians, but to be the person you're meant to be, the being you're meant to be, that has this very close relationship with the Father and with Jesus Christ. So let's remember the following things, points. Christianity is not just about overcoming weaknesses, but applying it, building on our strengths. Christianity is not just playing defense. We also play offense. Christianity is not passive. It is active and proactive for good. Christianity is much more than the demands of the moment, and Christians play for the long game. So may God guide us being and becoming the Christians that he's calling us to be.